Hey, church family, welcome to New in 22 on this Monday. Church family, I mean that very generally. I know there are a lot of people who listen to these each day that are not in Hayes or Colby at one of our physical campuses, but who would consider yourself part of Celebration. I just want to give you a special welcome. And there are people doing this all over the place that people have shared this with, and want to give you a special welcome today. We're going back to the book of Acts for a couple days, just 2 days, I believe. And then we're not going to actually head back to the book of Acts again until September, since we are doing the chronological New Testament. There's quite a bit going on here in chapter 18 today. We meet some pretty important figures here in chapter 18, starting with Aquila and his wife Priscilla. And we see that Paul stays with them. We find out that Paul was a tent maker by trade. This is how we get that information. This may be the only place that I can think of that we know that Paul's regular job was being a tent maker. But he stays with Aquila and Priscilla. They do some traveling with him. We see that he goes back to the local synagogue in Corinth. And remember the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the people of Corinth. He planted churches there. And he goes back to the local synagogue, which is the place of teaching and prayer, kind of like a little church. And this was when he would go back and preach actually to the Jewish people or the Greek people there. Remember that Paul's main ministry over the course of his public ministry was done to the Gentiles or the non-Jewish people, but we often find him when he goes to a town first going and teaching at the synagogue. So Paul ends up going to this synagogue in Corinth, and he just gets a lot of pushback from people. They become abusive to him, and in essence he says, fine, I'll just go preach to the Gentile people. And so that's what he does. So he actually goes next door to the synagogue, where he runs into a guy named Titius Justus, who it says is a worshiper of God. Now, I want to remind you, I know we did this a couple times before, but whenever it says they were a worshiper of God, this does not mean they were Christians. This does not even mean that they were Jews. So this guy was a Gentile guy, but he knew there was a God and he worshiped God. And this particular day, Paul shares with him the gospel. This man and his whole family come to know Jesus. There's a little mini revival that takes place, and it says a bunch of Corinthians believed in Jesus and they were baptized at that point in time. And so it tells us that Paul stays a year and a half in Corinth. That was quite a long stay for Paul in all of his travels. And then he finds himself being arrested and has kind of a little trial thing going on here. He's released from that. And then he does more traveling, heads out to Syria with Aquila and Priscilla. It tells us that he hits several different cities, even goes back to Jerusalem and to Antioch. Do you remember Antioch, the place where followers of Jesus were first called Christians? Little trivia question for you there. And then we meet another important figure, Apollos. And Apollos would become a huge figure in the early Christian church. He was a very well-educated Jew. And we find out towards the end of chapter 18 that he knew the scriptures really, really well, but it seems that he had some misunderstanding about baptism, about what Jesus did with baptism. It says that he only knew the baptism of John. So let's spend the rest of our few minutes here today talking about the baptism of John. So you go back to John the Baptist, not John the disciple, and John preached what was known as a baptism of repentance. So the Jewish people had used baptism in rituals for years, but those were baptisms of Gentile people who converted over to becoming Jews or Judaism is what they began to follow. But the Jewish people themselves, leading up to John the Baptist, were not baptized. So John came along preaching that even Jews needed to be baptized as well. It wasn't just the Gentiles who needed cleansing. So John's baptism was a symbol of going in a new direction, recognizing their sin and making a commitment to God. And then Jesus gave baptism a little different emphasis. It still was recognizing the need for cleansing and commitment, but also baptism from Jesus's point on became something that people who are baptized identify with Jesus's death and his burial and his resurrection. And so for John's baptism, the baptism of John, or the way John did baptism, it was saying everybody needs to be baptized for the purification purposes, for forgiveness of sins. And then Jesus came along, and we do baptisms in this way, where we still recognize that we are sinners in need of a Savior, but we baptize after we've made a commitment to Christ that shows that Jesus has purified us. So some clarification there, some little theology of baptism there. And one more time, as I do so often, have you been baptized as an adult or old enough to understand the meaning of baptism? There's got to be somebody listening to this today that you know in your heart of hearts that you need to be baptized. You need to make that public profession of your faith. And as we often say, making an outward expression of that inward commitment. Baptism is not something that is mandated for salvation, but baptism is something that we are over and over again, even by Jesus in Matthew 28, commanded to do. So if you haven't been baptized, get a hold of me. Let's take care of that. Have a great day. Be back with you again tomorrow.